Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your, I love the Amplified, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental attitude and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. The message says a life renewed from the inside. So that's what we want. And some of you might be struggling, but I want you to know that it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you consider that you your body might be displaying some kind of disease, the minute that you start talking about your disease and talking about the bad report from the doctor and talking about all the symptoms or whatever, instead of praising God and thanking him because he's your healer, he is your Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rophi, and you start thanking God that he's touching and healing you. And that's the way that we move. That's the way that we renew. We get renewed by the spirit of our mind, is by beginning to move into the, not a positive confession, but the reality of the living God, his truths and what they say. You know, you haven't never given a testimony lately, but Martha has been having stomach problems for a long time, and she doesn't have them anymore. And she was having trouble sleeping, and she's not having trouble sleeping. And she fell and hurt her hand because she was dizzy, and she's not dizzy anymore. See, there are things going on in this church and across the board, people that we are influencing that are good reports. So even if we don't hear them all here, they're happening. And I appreciate that Martha is shy, but she's not really shy. She thinks she is, but she's not. I've seen her in action. Anyway, that's okay. I want to give that testimony of what the Lord has done for Martha, and what he, some of you have testimonies that are very powerful, what the Lord has done. And he's an amazing God. So let's pray. Father, we desire, and our decision is to offer you praise. And that gives you ascendancy over our flesh, the world, and the devil. So we are in a place of praise, O God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, that these words and the reality that you have given to my heart, Lord, would be brought forth in a manner that your people can hear and receive and walk in. They could walk in that newness of life that you have already bought for us and paid for on the cross, Jesus. And we thank you for the pain and suffering that you went through so that we could have a new life and be new creations. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about, the name of this message is Imagine. So I'm going to be talking about imaginations, and I'm going to be talking about images and what you are imagining. Colossians says, let heaven fill your thoughts. So if you're letting heaven fill your thoughts, you're going to act a little different than if you're screaming and cursing or some other thing that you might be thinking or doing. Your decision to offer praises gives the Holy Spirit ascendancy over your flesh. God has been speaking to me about ascending. Because Jesus died on the cross, then he was walked around, showed everybody that he was still alive, he was resurrected, and then he ascended, and the disciples saw him go up. So he's the door. So Revelation 4:1 says, come up here. Come up here. So we can come up here, can't we? And we can speak and declare who God is in our lives and the truth. And the more that you are renewing your spirit and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, what happens is the love and the reality of the living God is just going to flow out of you. And that's what brings change in you and those around you. It's his love, and it is his word, and it is truth. Walking in the love of God is being able to see things through the eyes of God. So that's what we want to do, right? He's our Abba Father, right? So he sent Jesus. We say, yes, Jesus, come in my heart. And the Holy Spirit starts talking to us immediately, right? He's our teacher. When you look at another through God's eyes of love, you are seeing them through his image. That's what we're talking about. We were created in the image of God. Every soul, every person is created in the image of God, and they have a God image inside of them. But if they don't know Jesus, they haven't gone through the door. So even though they are loved by God, they can't connect. There's not a connection with the true living door, which is Jesus. So they have to go in there, because you can't be a new creation just because you were created in the image of God. You think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Eve and Adam, both of them listened to the enemy's voice. And his voice is very close to us sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes he yells and screams, and sometimes he whispers some little nothing that sets you off your kilter, and you start growling. Oh! No, none of you do that, right? Anyway, they were in the garden. They were walking in the glory of God in the garden. They were walking in the glory of God. They walked. They heard the voice of the Lord walking. So they were walking with him just the way we are walking with him. Yes? Do you hear what I'm saying? They were walking covered with the glory. And then when they listened to the enemy and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, believed his lie, they lost their covering. They weren't ashamed to be naked before. They were naked. They were ashamed because they lost their covering. They lost the glory covering. It wasn't just clothing. It was the glory. So God knew that they did something because they saw. He saw they weren't walking. So he covered them with fig leaves, and he had to kick them out of the garden because he didn't want them to live forever in that unglorified place. So it's the glory that we want in our lives. And you can just say, on the way this morning, the Lord gave me this little song, open up the gates, open up the gates. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Enter into the gates. Lift up the ancient gates, the ancient doors, and let the King of Glory come in. So that's what we're singing all the way here. Let the King of Glory come in. That's what we want. We want the King of Glory in our lives, in our homes, in our bodies, but where we work. We want the King of Glory. So if you are able to see other people as becoming those who are unfinished, that's a good way of putting it, right? Unfinished. Not quite walking in the glory yet. And I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about unbelievers. You have to plant seeds in their lives to draw them into the presence of the King. So the only way you're going to know what seed to plant is that you ask the Holy Spirit, right? So, and we want to look at each other through the eyes of God. Otherwise, we'll end up like Adam and Eve, blaming each other, railing at each other, cursing at each other, screaming at each other, angry, whatever your mode of expression is. No. We want to see each other with the glory of God, through the eyes of God, so we can see his image imprinted on each other. When there are these unresolved issues, it distorts the window that you're seeing through. So you want to see through a clear window. You don't want to see through a dirty window. And that's what happens. When you have stuff in your heart that you haven't gotten rid of, forgiveness is a way out. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. It doesn't happen. God sent his own image to die for us and to live for us, to see the way to redemption and ascension. His image is bringing us now to our full God-given potential if we allow the power of his love to control us. God sees us as what we can become. God's love is covenantal. It's not emotional. It's not mental. It's not physical. It's covenantal. He's a committed God. He's committed to you coming into your destiny. Jeremiah 29:11 says that he knows the thoughts that he has for you for a future, an expected end, not for evil. Not for evil. So step into his nature. I could live there for a couple of weeks. Step into his nature. Step into his nature. He's your healer. Whatever you need, step into his nature. Step into his character. John, your job is coming. I saw you working. Step into his character. Rudy, you're delivered from this whole hoopla. Steve, you too. You know, we pray. We just sit before the Lord, and God just gives us dreams and visions and understanding and wisdom, and we just pray that. And that's what you do too, right? We pray for each other. step into his character. God is not mean. That's not his character. God is not argumentative. You read 1 Corinthians 13, that's who God is. So that God is living inside of you, right? Amen. So you can move. The first fruit of the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. I speak in tongues all the time. You all know that because it's a miraculous, awesome language where God, Holy Spirit, speaks through me whatever it is he wants to say. I don't have to think about it. So it bypasses this. But if I'm not walking in love, there's nothing. Then I have nothing. Let his name drop into your situation. His name is all powerful. His word is all powerful. There's a scripture in one of the Psalms where it says that his word and his name, it says his word is exalted above his name. Another version says that his word and his name are exalted above everything else. So if you begin to move and begin to believe that God's name, that the name of Jesus over all things, the name of Jesus is all powerful over all things. Do you believe that? What do you believe about your God? Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. You are not under law, but under grace. Yes, Colossians 1:27, Christ within, the hope of glory. Your identity is the key to your transformation. What does that mean? Well, that means that you are a son of God. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I used to sit under a different group of teachers. Most of them are dead. I used to go hear Fuchsia Pickett at Christ for the Nations. Anytime, anywhere she was, I went and heard her because she was so filled with truth and life. And I read her books. And I remember one time she was in this church over in Greenlawn, and I brought all my kids. And they were all sitting there going, she was a really old lady at that point, and she had scoliosis of the spine. She couldn't hardly stand up. And she walked, I remember her walking up to the platform and leaning on the platform like this. And I watched the glory flow over her. It has nothing to do with your body. It has to do with him. I watched the glory fall on her, and she started to preach, and the whole place just went, I don't want to say berserk, but that's what came to my mind. They just were filled with the glory of the Lord. So one of her books I read, I think it was about the presence of God. I don't remember. They're up in the attic. But she wrote in the front of it. She signed it, and she wrote in the front of it, Romans 8:14. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know, when she wrote that, I didn't really understand. What do you mean I'm a son of God? I didn't understand. That was a long time ago. I was going to Christ for the Nations. I was going every week and sitting under the worship and learning. It was amazing. But I did not understand what she was saying, what that meant. But I started to meditate on it. And now I know what it means, because I am a son of God. I am a daughter of the Most High King. I am his beloved. Bowing down brings ascension. You see, when we bow and submit ourselves to the living presence of the God of the law, the God of all gods, the God of all hope, the Father of all mercy, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, you cannot doubt in your heart. You shall not doubt in your heart. That is the verse that delivered me from doubt. I remember going after it with everything. When I was doing that, doubt, you got to come out. That's the scripture, is that comes down from the fathers of light. There's a father of light. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means that we can't doubt anything, right? Because God is the God, the Father of lights. And there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's an unchangeable, immutable God. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So he's the Spirit of truth. So that light that comes down cascading like a river of light that flows into us. I love the word of God. So we are to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. Revelation 19:10, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Your prophetic worship, when we come in here and we're worshiping, Pastor Roy and I are singing prophetic songs, we're singing what's coming out of our innermost being, which is a river of life. and you join into that, then we're all under that anointing of glory. And when you start to sing, and thank you, Pat, for using your banner back there, there's a whole mess of banners up here, and they all have beautiful sayings on them. You know, you need to enter in and engage your body in the worship here. I understand we've been soaking, and we've been teaching, and we've been sharing, but you need to engage. You need to sing and shout and jump up and down and dance and wave banners. You need to get engaged. I mean, I am engaged. Pastor Roy is engaged because God is alive. He's alive. He's amazing. The prophetic worship of your heart opens all the doors to liberty and freedom. What? Yes. When you begin to worship Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus comes upon you. The Spirit of glory comes upon you. You start singing and worshiping. I can't tell you how many times God opens up the scriptures to me when I'm driving in the car and worshiping. I don't even listen to music or anything anymore. I just sit there with him. And he just sings these songs in me and opens up the heavens. So it's so beautiful. As you listen and believe and obey his commands. So I'm going to give you a definition of imagine. Because, you know, there's these teachings about, oh, no, I sat under it also and believed it at one point. You can't use your imagination because it's unholy. Well, your old man imagination is unholy, isn't it? But you have a new imagination, don't you? You have an image that has been carved on your being by the living God that is a real image of the living Jesus. I've seen him. I've been in heaven, been caught up there. I've sat on Jesus' lap. I've sat on the Father's lap. I felt his arms of love around me. I've been in trances. See, I believe that everything in the Word is mine. So I can do everything that's in the Scripture. So imagine means our imagination in God, the images that God pours on your new man imagination is the glory. You hear me? It's the glory. And then if you have received, I always write things down, and I start to speak it and say it. And yesterday I was dancing and jumping around in the back room for about an hour, just worshiping God by myself. It was amazing. Because God came into the back room, I was worshiping, and came back and started opening up the heavens over me. It's amazing. He's amazing, isn't he? Imagine means to form a mental image of. Sculpt, carve, paint, decorate, embellish. From the Latin, imaginare, to form a mental picture to oneself. So if we form a mental picture of God, who wins? We do, yes. And God wins, doesn't he? Because he gets to impress himself. You know, James says, imprinted, the word of God imprinted on your being. Image, an image is a visual representation of something, a likeness, a reflection in a mirror, an optically formed duplicate or other representative reproduction of an object, especially an optical reproduction of an object formed by a lens or a mirror. So, you know, we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. The more that you focus on the love of God, the more that you focus in the Word, the more that you get the Scriptures in your being, in your mind, in your heart, the more that you do all of that, the clearer your picture is going to be, the cleaner your mirror is going to be. I believe that ultimately, Colossians 2:15, that Father cannot tolerate anything that grieves the Holy Spirit. He's a good, good Father. He cannot tolerate anything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Jesus was and is fully victorious over the devil and his demons. And he demands our wholehearted service in the fight against them too. Father is looking for complete surrender to himself. Nothing held back. Thank you for that, Lori. Nothing kept, no secrets, and no ulterior motives. And how would you know if you had an ulterior motive? Just sit in the presence of the Lord for a little while. He'll let you know if you have an ulterior motive. We must be in complete submission to him because he is good and he wants everything. See, when he gets everything from us, then he can give us everything of him, right? That's what we want. It's an exchange. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. James 4:7 through 10. Okay, what do we see when we consider Jesus? Abba, Father, and the Holy Spirit. What are you seeing? You really need to be honest with yourself. What do you really believe? And if you are in unbelief or you have a distorted picture, give the picture to God because he'll change it. And he'll show you who he really is. Again, we need to spend time, don't we? Your thoughts open and close doors. They live and create a path towards something or another something. Jesus blotted out all the unholy thoughts that have been hurled against us, right? He made a display of them openly, Colossians 2:14. He has taken authority over all the wickedness in the world, all the sin. He went to hell and took the keys, death and hell, from the enemy. So he has the keys. We are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the Lord, 2 Corinthians 10:5. So ask, if you have a thought and you're not sure if it's God, you say, are you exalting? Is this thought exalting the God that I serve? Is this a godly thought or an ungodly thought? You know, I talk about 1 John 4, you know, test the spirits, whether they be of God. You should be able to, you all in here should be able to test and try the spirits at this point. You should absolutely be able, and without any rancor or condemnation, there's a thought flying by. Martin Luther used to say, well, you know, the thought can fly, you know, like a bird can fly over your head, but it doesn't have to plant a nest in your head. That's up to you. You have the mind of Christ, right? And you can say, I have the mind of Christ a million times. I have the mind of Christ. 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 So, are these thoughts exalting themselves above? God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you, it's so clear. He has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you're afraid, that's not a godly thought, is it? No. Do we get scared? Yes. So what do we do with the fear? Cast it down. Cast it down. Cast it down. What does God think about me? Yes, he does. He loves you, Stephen. But I'm his favorite. He said that at the retreat. That's very funny. We were all the favorite. So we need to ask these thoughts. We need to ask, who are you and what are you doing in my head? Where did you come from? I say that sometimes. Where did you come from? Get out of my house. I remember wrestling with the spirit of fear, and I was not strong enough. It was many, many years ago. I don't think I had kids yet. It was so long ago. But I remember it like it was yesterday. I was on the phone with another Christian who was stronger than I was. And I saw this thing come in my house. And it was looked like a mountain of mud with an ugly, horrible face. That's what it looked like. And I was like, I'm telling them, something just came in my house. I'm so scared. So, come on, pray, Marissa. So she prayed. She prayed for me for about 15 minutes until I got filled enough with God. I told that ugly thing to get out of my house, never come back. I opened the door, get out, and it left. Never came back again. So what was that? I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was a spirit of fear, and it's not there anymore. Bless the Lord. Somebody prophesied over me at the retreat that the devil is afraid of me. So I had to laugh. Because Ariel, we have this family text chat. So she sent the picture of this T-shirt that said something about the devil. She said, well, I overcame the devil or something like that. Where the blood of Jesus overcomes the devil. She said, we should get this for Mom. So I wrote, that's right. When I wake up, the devil says, oh no, she's up again. So you all need to be in that place that when you open your eyes, the first thing you know is God loves me. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the King of Glory. And I'm going to rule and reign today over every situation that I find myself in. Everywhere I walk, I have every place that my feet treads belongs to God. Excuse me. Speculations is the opposite of God-given imagination. I think I talked enough about that. Guard the holy things that have been planted inside of you. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. His plants are holy and beautiful. You will find that the more that you plant the word and the more that you plant godly thoughts and the more that you think holy thoughts, whatsoever things are true, Philippians 4, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. I remember when I first started to memorize that scripture, I was home with Sarah. I didn't know what I did. I said, oh my God, what did I do? Having this baby. Because I got stuck in my house after 7 years of doing whatever I wanted. I was a new believer, only 2 years. And there I was sitting in the rocking chair with a screaming baby. What is going on? And that's what I did. I sang that scripture every day for a couple of weeks. And sometimes I sang it through grit teeth because it was very difficult for me to be stuck at home sitting. I didn't even have a car with a baby. I didn't even know what I was doing. But the Lord changed my mind. He changed my thinking. He changed the way I was looking at things. I fell in love with Sarah, and I still love her. She was such a gift to me. She still is such a gift to me. But if I had not focused my attention, even now, on the presence of the living God, I would be thinking different things, wouldn't I? Maybe. James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I love that engrafted word. I love that thought. Implanted word. I love those thoughts that the word of God is in me, alive, rising up and overcoming. Yes, 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 Elizabeth says yes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I went back on. Maybe I moved the wrong way. Is that okay? Dare you interrupt me. In a struggle against temptation, did you see what I just did? What can we do to blot out the evil clouding our inner eye? Woo! What a statement. What can we do? There you go. What can we do to bring into focus the love of God that we are looking for? We have to take back the reins of negativity. That's what I did. You can have the dead ones. Okay. We have to take back the reins of negativity and recognize some thoughts did not come from the Holy Spirit, but from an unholy spirit. My father used to call me a meatball. And you know, is this on? He was fooling around. It was a pet name. But I didn't know that. I was a little girl who was calling me a meatball. Think of what I was, a mashed up piece, blob of chop meat. It wasn't until I grew up that I realized that he was just fooling around. Anyway, just a side note there. So, I love you, Dad. We have to take back the reins of negativity and recognize some thoughts that did not come from the Holy Spirit, but from an unholy spirit or from our own flesh, right? Our old nature. We need to tell the old man to be quiet, right? God-given imaginations are found when we are centered in the presence of God. Why do you think we do what we do every year, every week here? We are bringing the presence of God through our worship and praise so that you can hear God. and worship him. There's a place in God where his image is set on our hearts and our imaginations and our spirits. Woo! His spirit rules our thoughts and impressions. Freedom. We have to learn to discern our own imaginations and our own thoughts, right? Last time I preached, I taught about discernment. It's very important that you realize that you have control and authority over your thought life. You do, even if it's a chattery, runaway one. It takes time. You can. If our imagination is not centered on the love of God, it will take us in the opposite direction of our destiny. Complaining versus gratitude. Self-pity versus praise. Take every thought into captivity and fill your mind with heavenly thoughts. You have the mind of Christ. In one of the versions, it says, demolish all arguments. And sometimes you're arguing with yourself, aren't you? Don't eat that cupcake. Oh, but I want that cupcake. Don't eat that cupcake. But I want that cupcake. You don't have to eat that cupcake. I don't have to eat that cupcake. And you walk away. See? That's what you have to do. You have to talk to yourself. Not when everybody else is around, but they will definitely think you're a little wacky, but that's okay. I'd rather be wacky and victorious. So we need to demolish all arguments, right? And then don't fall in condemnation and guilt. Because if you're a son of God, what does it say? Romans 8:1. Go ahead, Stephen. Because they walk in the spirit of life and not the spirit of sin and death. Now, the law of life and not the law of sin and death. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Another thing you can do is cast all your cares upon him because you can acknowledge that he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:9. Now, I'm going to share one of the things that happened at the retreat because it was really powerful. And the ladies that were there got delivered and we had happy dancing. So I'm going to share it with all of you. You men need to engage in some of this. Yesterday, I heard on the way home from the store, I heard this song by Lincoln Brewster called This Is the Day That the Lord Has Made. I sang it all the way home with him, and I came in. I said, Pastor Roy, you have to hear this song. So I put it on. I got the big speaker. I played it. He couldn't hear it because it was too quiet. He was upstairs. I said, I'm going to put it on the speaker. And I danced in the kitchen to this song because that's my husband's word. I remember when he made a decision that when he got up every day, he was going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Then I found a little coin. You see? That says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's next to his lamp on his bedside table. This song says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I can't remember the tune. I only heard it once. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He came down the stairs and the two of us danced in the living room. Because you know what? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then the next line that he sings is, tomorrow, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow because blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was a great song. Great song. You can Google it. I love Google. Okay. Because I see, I do see, and because I believe, I do believe, and because when I hear truth in my spirit, and I see and understand what the truth is, I speak it. I speak it out loud to whoever it is as God directs. There were a few women at the retreat that were struggling with sexual images because they had had multiple partners. There are people that are addicted to pornography. There are people that are addicted to certain violent shows, all these things. And I started to talk to one of them in particular. I just started to talk to her. Her and her husband are going to for counseling because they need help, both of them. So I'm looking at her, and I said, well, I can tell you from experience, you have to cast down every thought, every imagination, every every past, present, future thing that might be coming at you, you have to take it down. You have to wrap it up, put it in a balloon, and send it back to glory. And it's not just one thing going to be done, especially if you have given yourself over to somebody in an unholy communion. It does not go away. You need somebody else to help you with that, somebody who believes that you can be delivered from that. So I said to her, I'm going to pray with you right now. And then I told her, I said, you need to just cast down those imaginations and take them into captivity. I said, I know that you can do this, and I know that you can get free. So she said, okay. So I grabbed her hands, and we prayed together. And she felt released. So I went back to the hotel that night, and I'm laying in bed. I said, Lord, there has to be a more powerful way than just doing all that work. You see, I'm beginning to understand a little bit more and accept a little bit more that just what we believe, we can have. Because Jesus did the work already, didn't he? So I have the mind of Christ, don't I? So I'm going to give you the scripture before, Matthew 27:51. So this is what happened. I'm waking up, and I see a vision of a shower curtain. White, solid curtain, shower curtain. I said, okay, what is this? What is this, Lord? He said, this is the veil. So then I was quiet, because sometimes you need to be quiet because God wants to tell you something and show you something. You need to not ask so many questions. So I said, all right, I'm sorry. So he shows me the shower curtain that's white. And then it turns into rain, just a pure flow, like a flood, like a waterfall of rain. And then it turns red, turns into blood. I said, okay. He said, you need to step through that. Now, I was clean. I didn't have anything going on, so I was able to step through it. He said, the veil was rent. The veil was rent. You can come into the inner court through the blood, through Jesus, through the veil. It's rent. So I saw the curtain open up. The rain was still falling. The blood was still falling. On my head, I went through. And he said, this is the answer. Then he gave me an open vision of a whiteboard behind, in the same room where this curtain was. I'm already in the Holy of Holies, worshiping God. So I come back out, and I'm coming back through the curtain, and I'm in the world again. I look over, and there's this whiteboard. And he said, oh, there's a whiteboard over there. I said, well, what do you want me to do with that? He said, well, you take those sticky notes and you put on the whiteboard. Now, I've done things like this. This is where your imagination comes in. You need to be able to find Jesus in your imagination. On that whiteboard, he said, put all those sticky notes, all your sins, all the things you're having trouble with, all of your hatred, all of your unforgiveness, all your bitterness, all of your disappointments, all of your lustful figures, all of your unholy matrimonial whatever, unmatrimonial whatever, all on there. Your lust, I'm just naming a few things here. You need to put it all on that board. And then you need to know that it's covered in the white, because it's a whiteboard. And then you go through the veil, and you come in on the other side, and it's over. It's over. So I declared this. I shared this. And the Holy Ghost fell on everybody. And we ended up doing Charlie Brown's dancing all over the place. Everybody got delivered, set free, jumping up and down, shouting, crying, falling on the floor. I mean, the manifestation of the glory was absolutely stupendous. And it was because I saw something in the Spirit and I shared it. You understand? You need to see in the Spirit and believe that what you're seeing in the Spirit is truth. Marilyn also, I think it was the first night, we're there. No, it was after that because I didn't have anything. You know, I'm just there. I have prepared from October. When I go there, everything is already set. God's already told me what's going to happen. But he also says, you got to leave me a lot of room. Because sometimes he moves and I have to be out of the way. So that was my prayer. I told Pastor Roy. I said, I just want to get out of the way. So Sometimes I ask people for testimonies, as God directs, and sometimes I don't. Well, this is one time I didn't ask for a testimony, and Marilyn stood up. You see, she was bold. She stood up and she said, "I see something." This was before the curtain. I said, "What did you see?" She says, "I see blue lightning." I said, "Oh!" Liz and I beat each other to the spot. She said, "I see this blue lightning going around like this." Now, I want you to know something. Here, we have four angels. I see them. They're here. Four big angels in the corners. We have an open heaven in this place. We have portals. We've had portals in different buildings that we've been in that I've shared with you. Well, this, I said, "You know what that is? That's a portal." So we all, after Liz and I got there, Pat, Callie ran after that. And everybody else ran into this portal because you know what it was? It was an open heaven. Right there, the glory of God was falling. And there was blue and there was water. It was a pool of Bethesda and it was lightning and it was absolutely amazing. And in that particular instance, I mean, Pat Callie was on the floor. But I want you to know that is what we want to happen here every time we meet in the afternoon. The glory to come, and it doesn't have to be that way. But I want you to know that the glory was here today in the same measure as he was at that retreat. But what was the difference? What's the difference? When the women go on the retreat, they are hungry and they are thirsty and they want Jesus. They want more of God. They want everything that he has. And they sacrifice and they suffer to get there. I know some of you did. So when they get there, they're like this. "Come on, Lord. Come on." And he answers that hunger. When we pray and we sing, sometimes we sing about the hunger of God, because there was actually a woman there who came, was totally depleted, but then she ended up singing anyway. Anyway, she sang and she started singing, "Lord, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty." Because that's what brings the presence of the Lord. It was very powerful. And that portal was there during the whole retreat, the whole rest of the retreat. And women were walking in and out of it, getting slain in the spirit. I think some of them got knocked around. Cindy fell on her nose. It was, you know, it was just the Lord of God, the Lord of Lords. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to step into glory right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Because the white shower curtain, and please do it when you go home. If you don't do it here, do it when you go home. Get in the presence. I'm going to tell you something. I had a word for a gentleman that was here in our congregation. I don't remember what building we were in. It was quite a number of years ago. He was very religious, and he actually created some rifts in our church, which wasn't very nice. But we forgave him, and we continue to forgive him. I had a word for him, because he was very religious. And the word that I had for him was, you need to go home, and you need to put on every sweater and every shirt and every coat that you can find. And you need to put on some worship music, and you need to worship the King of Glory. You need to fall on your face and worship him. And you need to rise up and praise him and lift up your hands and exalt the King of Glory. And then you need to take off every one of those coats and every one of those sweaters and take them off, because he was carrying so many things and so many postures and so many personas, so many false masks that nobody knew. He didn't even know who he was after a while. And it was very sad. It was very sad. And he just looked at me like I had three heads. What? I said, I'm telling you something. That if you do this, when you go home and do this, you will be set free. I guarantee it. Because the Lord had given me a vision, and he had given me a word, and I shared it. Which is exactly what happened here. This was a specific word for that woman. The Lord said, this will set her free. And you know, she was completely wasted. She was blasted. That was the word she said. I saw her at lunch. She said, "Oh, my God, I was wrecked," she said. "I was completely wrecked, laying on the floor, crying." And I didn't see her because she was all the way in the back, and I was, you know, whatever was going on. We never did lift up any worship songs. Lori and I were going, And then I finally said, forget it, that's not happening. Because this is what God chose to do. He chose to do and move and manifest in another way. So, one of the things I ended up saying, and I'm sharing this with you, so it's not a present as it was then, it was right there. But we can make it right there if you want. You have to make it right there. Get up, and what I told the ladies is take 3 steps forward, because you take those 3 steps, you step in the other side of the curtain. Because the veil, and the one of the reasons why the Lord was able to give me that vision is because I was singing that song about the power of his name. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Death cannot hold you. The veil, and I was having trouble when I was doing the song to sing that line. So I went back over and over again. The veil torn before you. That's the truth. And because I knew that, and because I walked in that, and I meditated on that, when God said that to me, the veil was open. And I'm telling you, we did happy dance. There was a girl in the back, a woman in the back, who was from the Salvation Army. Never seen or heard any of this. She came last year, first time, very quiet little woman. And she started jumping up and down from the presence of God. Jumping up and down and shouting. And everybody started to look like, what happened? I didn't know who she, you know, I don't know who everybody is that comes or where their backgrounds. I had ministered to her physically last time and then again this time. She got healed. So she didn't know what happened to her. She's driving home with my friend Pastor Vicky, and she said, what happened? What was that? Well, that was the glory of God. That was the glory of God. And that's what we want. We want the glory of God to come in power and destroy us. Plaster us on the floor. That's what I'm praying for. How about you? Again, you got to be hungry and thirsty. So let's do that right now. Let's get up. Oh, there's a flower on the floor up here. Oh. Okay. Veil's rent. So we're going to practice. We're going to look. And we're going to see in our imaginations, our godly imaginations, we're going to see the white curtain that is not opaque. You cannot see through this curtain. We're going to see the curtain. Okay, everybody can see the curtain. And then we're going to see the rain. It's like the waterfall. A waterfall of glory cascading down. Because when God comes in and rents the veil, his glory came and his life, that river, that water of life that comes. And then his blood. We can step into the blood shower and get cleansed from everything that's on our whiteboard. So in your own heart, I want you to see a whiteboard. Not what's up there. A whiteboard that's got your stuff on it. And nobody else has to know what your stuff looks like, but God already knows what your stuff looks like. So we put that whiteboard up there, and we take those sticky notes, and we put all of our stuff on that whiteboard. And know that, see, when the scripture says we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have to take that step to come out of sinness. You have to take that step and confess your sins. So we confess, Lord, these things that are on the whiteboard. We give them to you, Lord, and we repent. We repent for those things. We repent for those evil thoughts. We repent. We cast down imaginations and every odd thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We cast down those imaginations. We take them down now. We desire to have heavenly thoughts. We desire to come into the reality of the living presence of the living God, the glory of the King, that we can go through the veil into the Holy of Holies where the Father lives. So we see that white curtain, and we see that curtain of blood, and we see that curtain of water. In Jesus' name, the veil is rent. The veil is rent in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus. So you just take 3 steps, and you're in the inner court, the Holy of Holies, where Jesus lives. And we receive your forgiveness right now, Lord. we receive from you, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. You did it. You did it all. You have done it. That veil was torn. That curtain was torn. And you see that just ripped. That curtain was torn when you died on that cross, Jesus. You took away the separation between us and the holy court, the holy of holies. We can come into the inner court and we can hear the song of the Lord. You are our song, Lord. We can hear the voice of God. We can hear the lion roar. We can hear the power and the authority and the imagination of God and his image and what he desires us to look like and be. So we thank you, Lord. I release every soul here to be free. Be free, Lord. Freedom in the name of Jesus and the power of your glory. Be free in the name of Jesus and the power of your glory. Be free in the name of Jesus and the power of your glory. We thank you that your resurrection and your ascension is right. It's true. We can come up to heaven and swim in the crystal sea. We can come up and see the 24 elders bowing before you. We can see the throne of God, and we can see the rainbow around the throne. We can see the Ancient of Days sitting with hair white as wool. We thank you, Lord, for the golden girdle that he wears. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, whose eyes are flames of fire. We thank you for your blood, Jesus, that you shed so we can be free. We can come into a place of liberty. For now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. So I thank you today that your people are free because of what you have done. And we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the crucifixion. And we thank you for the ascension. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. Praise. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. We thank you that we can walk in liberty. For we keep your precepts and we seek your precepts so we can walk at liberty. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.